Good morning, church. I am very pleased to be here once again, and I want to thank the gospel choir for last evening's program. If you weren't here, make sure you make the next one, the next concert. It was wonderful, it was inspiring, and you will be blessed by being present for such a concert. Everyone's heard of Easter Sunday, but I'm not so certain that everyone has heard of Ascension Sunday, which is celebrated today. This is the last Sunday of the Easter season in the church's calendar. It's the day that we celebrate Christ ascending from the earth up into heaven. Perhaps you've seen different artists' rendering of such an event. This past week, my husband and I, as part of a trip, were at the Louvre Museum in Paris. There was a painting by Rembrandt called The Ascension, and in it, Jesus, who is the central figure, is clothed in white robes. And far below, the disciples fall backwards, awestruck, while little angels push the cloud upward to heaven toward a source of light that's barely distinguishable in form, but perhaps it's a dove. So why should we even think about this? Why even mention Ascension Sunday? What does it have to do with us as Christians in 2018? I think there are two important reasons for us to acknowledge at least that it happens on this Sunday, the last Sunday of the Easter season. First, it helps us remember that God's greatest gift to us, his Son, Jesus Christ, is no longer limited to one time and one place, first century Galilee. Because Jesus was raised from the dead and then 40 days later ascended to heaven, he is available to all people of all times and places. It's one of God's way of saying to all of humankind, I love you, and I am always caring about you, no matter where you are. A second reason to think about the meaning of the ascension is that as the church, it encourages us to keep ourselves open, open-minded and open-hearted, to stay in a state of receiving and being hospitable for a reunion with God's beloved Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. The church lives in anticipation of shared joy with the next visitor who walks in that door. And who knows? It might be Jesus himself. So those two reasons to think about Ascension Sunday and why it's important for us. Now on the yearly calendar, this is Mother's Day, which began in May of 1907 by a Methodist woman in her church in West Virginia. Her mother had died 2 years earlier in early May, and she believed that on the second Sunday in May, from that day forward, everyone should honor mothers. She continued to advocate that for the next 5 years until the Methodist Episcopal Church, from which United Methodist Church has come, in 1912, put it on the national agenda. So now you're thinking, well, I guess maybe this is a Sunday that's based on love and caring. And you're right. Jim read for us Jesus' prayer as he was getting ready for the crucifixion. And he knows he's going to be leaving these disciples with whom he has spent his life for the last 3 years, day and night. And he's going to miss them because they've created a community of love and caring right there. He's trained them, he's mentored them. And think of yourself in such a group. You know, you're going to miss someone if they're going away. If you've been with them for 3 years, night and day, it hurts to leave such a group. And so Jesus opens his heart to God and he just flows with compassion for them and asks God to take care of them while he's no longer there to do so. My husband and I are celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary this coming Tuesday. And the recent trip from which we've just returned this past week was to celebrate that occasion. We took a cruise on the Rhine River. It was a first-time event for us, and I had a lot of questions before we went about how well that was going to come off. I don't know about you, but every time I go on a trip, I am filled with the same kind of questions. Anybody else go through that? Maybe it's part of preparation. No matter how much I read and even read comments about people who had been on the trip that were just glowing, I thought, uh-huh. Well, it was so well organized, staffed, and programmed that the week went about as well as any of us could imagine. We passengers were cared for in every possible way, and that gave us all a feeling of security and assurance that allowed us to sleep at night like hibernating bears. It was so peaceful and restful that it had the effect of bringing out the best in us as fellow travelers. And that resulted in an atmosphere of joy and delight. The caring of that considerable crew was outstanding. When we are cared for and loved, we know it. We feel it, don't we? John's passage that Jim read for us this morning lets us overhear Jesus praying for his disciples whom he has cared for and loved for the last 3 years, day and night. Did you hear him plead with God to watch out for his friends when he's gone? And did you hear him ask God to protect them in his name? He is saying goodbye in the most profound way by remembering them before God his Father in prayer. That's a powerful way to say goodbye. A powerful way to say you are loved, you're cared for. Who has cared for you? Who's put in a good word for you? Who loved you so well that no matter what anyone else may have said, they spoke well of you? Was it a mother who defended you in the backyard from the tyrants in the neighborhood? Or a big brother or a big sister who didn't mind that you tagged along everywhere? Or was it a grandfather who just happened to have a new joke? Corny as they are, that always cheered you up no matter how far down you were. Who was it that cared for you in such a way? What about a coach or a favorite teacher or a best friend? Who cared for you when the world turned its eyes away from you? Jesus' prayer for his disciples asks God no less than 3 times to protect the disciples he's been with from day one. He has lived his life for them, and he now glimpses a future without them. He'll be leaving his beloved community, and he can't pray fervently enough for them to be safe without him. Do you remember when you were a child being prayed for by your mom or dad or both, or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle? I remember, and that's a long way back, I'll tell you, that I remember, now I lay me down to sleep. I remember my mom starting me on that. It's a powerful thing to know that you're being prayed for. Jesus has been through thick and thin, as the saying goes, with the lives he's befriended and guided to understand his mission of making God's love known in the world. And he continues to hold up his disciples when he prays for their unity and protection from evil, the power of evil, which is in opposition to the power of God. It's a power that seeks to lure us from the right way into the wrong way. And let me tell you, we all face that sometimes in life, do we not? Finally, Jesus asks God to make his disciples holy. The word in the passage is consecrated. What that means is to be made holy. Jesus wants them to be made holy with the truth. What good is the protection for them if they are not willing to spare or to share the truth of the gospel of God's love for all people? Well, I want you to know something. This prayer is not only for those disciples in first century Galilee, it is also for you and me. Disciples now. Jesus is still praying for you and me, for the church. He's still praying to God, asking God to protect us. Jesus has more love for us than we will ever know. We're allowed to overhear Jesus praying for those earliest disciples, but it is for you and me, the church, to this day. Hear those words of affirmation, did you? They have kept your word. They know in truth. They have believed. Jesus prays for us to this very day. The church's story is the love story. Remember how John begins the third chapter, "For God so loved the world"? That love is Jesus Christ, who lets us in this prayer hear his longing for reunion with all of his disciples, you and me, the church, universal. The crew of the riverboat we were on cared for us passengers in the most affirming and friendly way. It was a contagious outpouring that prompted us passengers to be as affirming and friendly as they were. When we, the church, open our hearts and minds to accept and welcome one another with encouragement and hospitality, we are being Christ's love in person, just as we have received it from him. As the church, we believe that God's love will redeem the world, and that Christ continues to make us holy with unrelenting love. Unrelenting love from Jesus Christ every day. Now, doesn't that put a new picture on things? Doesn't that put a new light on life? To know that Jesus is praying for you every day, and that he loves you unrelentingly and always will. I tell you, you can't go wrong believing that. I don't know why more people don't. The truth is, we are the church, you and me. And Jesus is praying for us all of the time. Praying for our protection, that we will continue to be united, that we will continue to share that love with one another and beyond these walls. That's the love story. Thanks be to God. Amen.